Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Tim Harvey to the broadcast. Tim recently resigned from his position as Executive Vice President of Shared Services and Chief Information Officer of Hilton Hotels Corporation. In 2000, with the Hilton acquisition of Promise, Tim became Hilton's Senior Vice President and CIO, promoted to Executive Vice President in 2007, with increased responsibilities over the company's Sales and Reservations Division. In 2008, Tim's responsibilities were expanded again to include commercial revenue. In addition to his role overseeing technology and distribution, this would now include the management of the Hilton Honors Program and Hotel Performance, with his new title, Executive Vice President of Shared Services and CIO. Tim became Vice President and CIO of Promise Hotels in 1995, followed by Executive Vice President and CIO with the business expansion due to the merger between Promise and DoubleTree in 1998. In the 1980s, Tim held a variety of positions with Holiday Inn, which became Promise Companies, and Promise Hotel Corporation. Tim holds a BBA from Delta State University, where he was also an All-American baseball player. He has an MBA from the University of Memphis as well. I recently caught up with Tim in his office in Memphis, where our conversation covered Principle 2, Infrastructure, as we discussed OnQ, Hilton's guest-centric enterprise platform, Principle 4, Business Alignment, as we discussed Tim's roles as an IT leader and as a business leader, as well as a variety of other topics. Tim Harvey, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Well, Peter, I'm delighted to be with you today.
Great. Tim, I wonder, so that our audience of listeners can understand the scope of challenges we'll be discussing today, I wonder if we could begin with a brief overview of the global portfolio covered by Hilton Hotels. What's the annual revenue of Hilton Hotels Corporation? Can you give us some background to understand what your role encompasses in the larger framework of the organization at large?
Yeah, Peter, first, Hilton has 11 brands. Mm-hmm. That it franchises, owns, and manages.
Okay.
And those 11 brands obviously are serving a variety of consumer markets. But there's 3,200 hotels that comprise those 11 brands, mm-hmm. and we've got almost 550,000 rooms in 77 countries around the globe.
Okay.
Now Hilton Hotels. Because of the ownership and then the fees that come from, franchising, it's about an $8.5 billion company.
Okay.
But again, 85% of those 3,200 hotels that I mentioned earlier are franchised. So all of the revenue that's generated by these hotels are not recorded in Hilton's on Hilton's books. And our technology has to support over $23 billion in business across these 11 brands. So when we build technology, we're really supporting a much, much larger business, and we call those system-wide revenues than what you would actually see in on Hilton's financial statements.
I see.
Now, those 11 brands are really comprised of, are really organized into three segments. First, it's our focus service brands, and those brands include Hampton, Homewood Suites by Hilton, Hilton Garden Inn, and we've just announced a new brand that is an extension of Homewood called Home 2. Second sort of consolidation of brands would be our full service properties. In there are also three of the 11 brands, Embassy Suites, DoubleTree Hotels, and Hilton Hotels. And the third is our new prestige portfolio that serves Conrad, Waldorf Astoria Collection, and the newly announced Denison, which is a lifestyle product.
I see.
Additionally, we also have a timeshare business called Hilton Grand Vacations.
I see.
Great. Well, Tim, speaking of the and beginning to get into some of the systems that drive all of this, I wonder if we can talk about one of the most prominent of those systems, and that would be OnQ. Certainly something that has been lauded a tremendous amount in a variety of different sources. I wonder if you could take a moment and talk a bit about what OnQ is.
Well, you know, there are lots of systems that is required to operate a hotel business. And that really is what OnQ is. It's Hilton's enterprise-wide platform. It's our ERP system.
I see.
We brought all those systems together within one system, again, called OnQ. Now, at its core, OnQ is a guest-centric enterprise platform. It manages all the preferences and knowledge of our guests across all touchpoints throughout the Hilton family of brands. It's really our 360-degree view of the customer that, if you think about it from a hotelier standpoint, the more you can know about a customer, the better you can take your product and through services, customize an experience that keeps the customer coming back. So we really think about OnQ as the enabler that creates a unique competitive advantage for our hotels in the industry. 22 million customers stay with us across our hotels on an annual basis. We have 40 million, you know, customer interactions. So basically, those customers are staying with us multiple times. And, you know, to make a unique differentiation in the stay, you need to know what's their travel reason, mm-hmm. what do they prefer, what kinds of things can create a unique experience for them and help them be successful on their travel. If you take all of those interactions across 3,200 hotels, and you want to provide the same level of service at every hotel and every customer touch point, which would include, you know, honors, would include our, you know, voice centers. That's awfully hard to do that on a 3x5 card that's stored in a shoebox somewhere. So obviously that gives you a feel for so many different interactions across so many different touch points, why technology is so important to Hilton. Secondly, I'm sorry, Peter.
No, I was going to say that makes an awful lot of sense.
Well, you know, there's just at the end of the day, the customers are our most important asset. And, you know, we've got great brands and we make promises to those customers for to take care of them. 100% reliability in the reservations. You know, what you buy is what we give you. And, you know, and that's a strong promise. And so our customer focus and our technology is really, I think, the right thing. Now, there are a couple other things I wanted to touch on, Peter, but OnQ is really four integrated components.
Okay.
We've talked about one major component, which is called knowing the customer. The second major component is the actual selling the product at the right price, which means you have to have a reservations capability, internet presence, as well as strong revenue management. Know who your customer is, know what their travel reason is, what they need to accomplish, and sell them the right combination of products at the price point that they need. Thirdly, it's then once you've sold them the room, now it's about executing at the hotel.
Yes.
And then because you've got a consistent system at each one of the hotels, you know, the fourth major component is really the business intelligence that comes from the information, the consistency of the information. It's really important for timely decisions and making critical marketing decisions. Mm-hmm. And the third thing I would highlight that OnQ is that it's a single solution, as I said earlier, but it is the only platform that's available today to multi-brand hotels. Now, what does that mean to our owners? What that means to the owner is they get all of the system capabilities all in one system called OnQ to support all of their business functions from, you know, inventorying, selling, customer profiles, you know, et cetera. They get all that in one system. It's turnkey. It's prepackaged. So it's very easy for the owners to acquire. So they can focus on being hotel experts, whereas we can focus on enabling them with the technology, just like putting the flag up in front of the hotel. You get OnQ as a part of the flag. So those are really the three, you know, kind of key parts, if you will, of what OnQ is.
That's great. It's very helpful. I wonder, are there statistics that you keep to understand how it's been used and its effectiveness?
Yeah, Peter, there are, and I think probably the most important one is that in the franchising business, it's really important, and whether you own the hotel or and manage for other owners, but it's really important to deliver as much business as you can from a central place. So let's just say above the property. And 62% of all sales and reservations that an owner receives every single night all come from these centralized services. 40% of every guest that stays in a hotel room is a Hilton Honors member. So we have this vast distribution network and this vast customer management network that's all enabled via OnQ, and every hotel is plugged into that network to deliver the business. Now, what does that mean when you're getting 62 out of every 100 rooms from a central place? That means the hotel owner doesn't have as much sales expense in that individual property. They're able to benefit from the strong brands and the vast distribution that the brands have. So that's probably the most key statistic I can give you.
That's fantastic, and very good ones indeed. It speaks well of the program that you can keep such detailed and specific statistics on how well it's being used. I wonder, you've been talking about the past and present of OnQ. Can you talk to us a little bit about the future? Obviously, the organization not too long ago reintegrated Hilton International, has been expanding internationally into some new geographies. I imagine OnQ is part of that story. Can you tell us a bit about the future of OnQ?
Well, that part of the story is every owner, regardless of what market that they decide to build one of our, flags, hotels that carry the flag, every owner deserves to be connected into this vast distribution capability and customer management capability, just like any owner in the United States. So it's pretty easy to deploy technology to the states, but much more difficult when you think about trying to do it across the 77 countries that we currently have hotels in.
Yes.
So we've continued to say that OnQ is going to be consistently deployed to all owners. And as a result, we've gone in over the last 2 years and localized, globalized OnQ and localized it to take care of the local currency, the local languages, the local governmental reporting to make OnQ, work in all the markets where we represent are represented. And as a result, OnQ's future is to really enable growth. So if we're going to export our brands outside the U.S. into the countries around the world, the same things that come with the flag in the U.S. need to be a consistent part of the offering. And technology is certainly is going to play a major role in that.
That's powerful. That's very powerful, and I can only imagine the undertaking that made it possible in order to provide all the literal and figurative translations of OnQ into the various geographies that you operate. Tim, beyond OnQ, Hilton's been a leader in the use of customer-facing technologies. I know from my own experience at Hilton Hotels, you for quite some time have had kiosks in the hotels where one can one can have a key made and a room chosen without even interacting with people. You have your website, of course, which is a key channel through which customers interact with Hilton and book hotel rooms and so forth. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you see as the future of Hilton, where Hilton is going next in terms of customer-centric IT.
Yeah, Peter, having a customer-centric IT is very important because it's hard just to differentiate our brands on product alone. The bigger picture for Hilton self-service is about offering our guests choice and control. Maybe we should call it consumer choice technology. And I do think brands can be differentiated on how well you can execute in the self-service arena. Before I really talk to you about some of the specifics, though, let me just remind you that it all starts with OnQ, because OnQ is the knowledge of what goes on in the hotel. It's the knowledge that guests really seek. And really wanting the ultimate in choice and control. They would like to be able to choose the specific room that they actually stay in. And as a result of OnQ being in every hotel and being an enterprise capability, the website, a website, for example, can actually look down into the property and see whether or not a specific room that the customer wants to choose is available. Mm-hmm. So we introduced last year a special check-in capability, advanced check-in capability for Homewood Suites called eSelection.
Okay.
And it allows our Homewood guests to go onto a website just like they would if they were booking an airline. I want to sit in this specific seat, and I have a boarding card that has that seat reserved. They can actually go in ahead of check-in and actually say, I want to be able to stay in room 101. After they've actually looked at the room and looked at the layout of the hotel and decided, you know, this morning I would like a view of the ocean, and I know room 101 has a beautiful view of the ocean.
Yes.
I also like 101 because it's located relatively close to the elevators, and from a security standpoint, you know, that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the ultimate in choice and control. We want to give the guests the opportunity to choose which room they want and control the fact that they can control the check-in process 24 hours in advance and have their boarding card when they show up at the hotel, and the hotel can actually give them the key.
That's powerful.
It really is, Peter. You know, we have kiosks, and what we've learned with kiosks since we've had them introduced over the last 3 years is that they work best in large hotels where customers don't want to stand in line, and they can be used basically as line busters. So guests can come in and say, you know, if the front desk looks busy, I can elect to go over to the kiosk. On the kiosk, we've allowed them to, you know, check into the room. They can check out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
They can print their boarding pass. I like to think about the kiosk in the hotel is it just helps the guest along their journey, whether it's actually in the hotel or it's the next phase of the journey, like going to the airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can think about how important this is to us, and that you know, we want customers, we want to create competitive advantage around giving customers the ultimate in choice and control. And I think, you know, that brands can be differentiated based on their execution of self-service.
All great points. I wonder if we can switch gears a little bit, Tim. I mentioned earlier, of course, that Hilton Hotels acquired Hilton International a few years back. In fact, there have been several different acquisitions through the course of the past 10 years or so. And in fact, your own time at Hilton began through a series of acquisitions. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, say, the past 10 years, including the acquisition of Promise in December of 99, the acquisition of Hilton Hotels, DoubleTree, and so forth, how IT has facilitated the acquisition of companies and hotels.
You know, it's kind of funny that because I think that has been what my experience in technology has been about, and that is, you know, putting hotel companies together, taking them apart. It seems that since 1990, that's been primarily, you know, what we've used technology as an integral part of providing value to do. But that's just been a big part of my experience at Hilton. So, you know, I can go back to 1990 when Holiday Inn, we were called Holiday Corporation. Our company was Holiday Corporation at the time, and the biggest brand that we owned was Holiday Inn, and there were a few little smaller brands called Hampton, Homewood, and Embassy Suite. And but those were no more than 200 hotels, whereas the Holiday Inn brand was something like 2,400 hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And there was conflict in trying to grow those brands with some of our various ownerships, because these products all do compete in the local markets. So we sold the Holiday Inn brand. And, you know, and at the same time that we sold the Holiday Inn brand, we also sold all of the technology that went with it, which was our reservation system, which is still a very well-known reservation system in our industry called Holodex. We sold all of our, you know, property technology, which at the time was an older DOS-based system, revenue management, et cetera. And so one of the first key things that, this new company that was created called Promise Companies that had a hotel division that was, as I said, Hampton, Homewood, and Embassy, and it was about 200 hotels. And the other side of the company was Harrah's, so we were primarily a gaming company. I think, you know, about 97% of our revenues were all gaming. But the hotel business is capability to, you know, to drive the selling of the business, selling of the room. So we needed a distribution platform. We needed somehow to execute it at the property. Otherwise, all of those things that I told you that OnQ did today, we couldn't offer those centralized services and deliver that, you know, to the hotel owners. So in that particular case, here was a company that we were creating from scratch. Technology was a core piece of what we needed to do. And basically, I was selected to be a member of that team that was to go off and create this initial offering, which would allow us then to sell franchise based on the promises of central delivery.
I see.
Second interaction that I would describe is when Hilton acquired Promise, and that was in 2000. You see, Promise at the time, and we had grown to that point to almost 1,700 hotels. So over that 10-year period, we grew to DoubleTree Hotels. We had added to Hampton, Homewood, and Embassy Suite, and as I said, totaled about 1,700 hotels. But we were beginning to lose market share because we didn't have a loyalty program.
I see.
And but we did have a consistent technology that sat in all of our hotels. And so when Hilton acquired Promise, they had a loyalty program. And that loyalty program is probably one of the best in the industry, called Hilton Honors. And because we had consistent technology across all of the Promise hotels, that loyalty program was able to be installed. I'm talking about now all of the signage deployed into the hotels, the technology able to accept the loyalty card, properly award the points to the guests. We were able to roll that whole program out in 4 months, unheard of. And that was a key, that because technology was consistent in every hotel, you literally could build it once and then consistently deploy it over those 1,700 hotels in a short period of time.
I see.
Those brands now have grown that, as I said earlier, almost 40%. Well, across those brands, 40% of all the guests that stay, you know, in those Promise hotel brands, those old Promise hotel brands, again, Hampton, Homewood, Embassy, and DoubleTree, are now Hilton Honors members. So in 2000, zero. Now 40% of their business is
incredible.
For Honors.
Incredible.
And the only way that it was enabled was, you know, through consistent implementation of technology at all of our hotels. I'll also highlight that when Hilton acquired a multi-brand company like Promise to add to what they had was the Hilton brand and Hilton Garden Inn, they immediately, overnight, you know, now had six brands. And, you know, a guest would call into a specific market, let's just pretend New York, and say, I'd like to stay in one of the Hiltons, and the Hiltons are occupied. So before, that when there were a smaller two-brand company, they'd have to hang the phone up and say, you know, the guest is going to have to go somewhere else. But now that they were up to six brands, now they had other options that they could cross-sell to the guest. And through technology on our websites and the technology that we use in our call centers, we were able to go in and create a cross-sell function for those brands that resulted in $350 million of incremental revenue. And that was in 2003, 2004. Today, that cross-sell revenue has now grown to $740 million.
That's powerful.
So that's, you know, I think moving the needle through the use of technology, through, you know, business acquisitions and business combinations. Now, as you ask about Hilton International, And so finally, I will use that. We put our OnCue platform in the Hilton International Hotels. We started about 2 years ago, and by the end of the first quarter of this year, we will be in all but about 50 of 270 hotels that we started with. So we've actually globalized and localized OnCue and put it into all of those hotels. And it's been quite the journey, very expensive journey, and very, it takes a lot of time.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, clearly think we're reaping the benefits. So let me give you an example.
Yes, please.
Prior to the HI hotels, before they installed on Q, they trailed their competitive set in the individual marketplace where they compete by 6.5%. So essentially, of 100% of the business that was coming into that marketplace, the competitors were getting more of that fair share than our hotel was.
I see.
And they were ahead of us in market share by 6.5%. Now, for this set of hotels that we analyzed, after we installed OnCue, HI not only caught up, but passed the competitive set and now are gaining more market share than our competitors by 2.7%.
My goodness.
And you know, Peter, let me just add, in addition to that, you know, customer satisfaction about the knowledge of customers, that full view of customers that OnCue is really about, we increased guest satisfaction based on the, you know, surveying process by 11%. And there haven't been very many marketing programs we've seen that have moved the needle by such a large percentage. And then finally, because you got the same system in every single hotel, obviously, that eliminate all of the manual tasks, you have tremendous labor savings that exist as well. So driving more revenue in, more market share, customers are happy, and the net income for the hotel has improved. So, you know, I think those are pretty big stories on the fact that technology can really play a major part as you combine companies and through acquisitions and also through dispositions as well.
That's very powerful and incredible vignettes there, including the statistics you were able to provide. You know, Tim, as I listen to you talk, it occurs to me that so much of the way you describe these things are actually from a business perspective, a value perspective, and it brings to mind, in fact, that you've not only been the CIO for quite some time, but you've also taken on some business roles as well. You're the EVP of Global Distribution Services, and I wonder, and I know even prior to that, if I recall correctly, your training, your degrees are in business, not technology. So you're somebody who's operated with a foot in the business, a foot in technology, perhaps put sliding one foot closer in one direction than the other, depending on what part of your career it's been. But I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how your experience as CIO has prepared you for some of the business roles that you've taken on, and in fact, how you've, as it's very clear with the stories you're telling, how you've embraced business language, business metrics, and so forth.
You know, Peter, I think that our experience that we gain through being a CIO can be and actually is excellent to leverage into running other functional areas within companies. And the first thing that I would highlight as a CIO is you have to be comfortable with change.
Mm-hmm.
Because your job is about bringing innovations, to the business that allows you to, change. And as innovators, you have to, by definition, it means that you have to be comfortable with change and you're able to drive change through the organization. I think the second thing is the analytical, very disciplined approach that technology requires through methodologies. And when you can look at other business areas, whether it's sales or it's in finance and accounting, if you're able to break those tasks down into smaller tasks and then analyze those tasks to understand where the inefficiencies exist, you can find that lowest common denominator that then, exposes what you can leverage and make more efficient, and as a result, can lead to a to a more efficient and effective organization. Mm-hmm. In the case of all of the different acquisitions and business changes that we talked about before, it really was about saying, what did both of the entities that you were putting together do well? Did it really mean that you could, use what they did well as the new platform? So therefore, best demonstrated practice in each of the two entities to put them together into the combined entity. Finding the ones that are most efficient, be willing to take that risk and make those changes and drive the organization to that new paradigm of operation. All things that you learn from, being a CIO, because, technology allows change. You have lots of people coming to you asking you for lots of different things, and it may not be that they're asking at the appropriate time. So you have to be creative in how you go and find resources to bring, the supply of resource when the demand exists. All through the entire everything that you do as a CIO, are all things that really allow you to adjust to the changing business conditions that are out there, which is all the other business leadership of the other functional areas are really doing in the first place.
Yes. Well, that's great. Well, Tim, thank you so much for taking this time with us today. This has been just a fascinating conversation. It's great to have learned so much about how your career has evolved, how Hilton's has as well, and the story the technology has played, a very meaningful story the technology has played through that transition throughout. So thank you for taking this time with us on the forum on World Class IT.
Peter, it's been my pleasure, and thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it's nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Christian Dooley. Our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.